Good morning, it's Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. Later this hour, we'll take a look at the challenges of going through a breakup or divorce in the digital age, with social media such a part of people's lives. And I'd love to hear your story if you're someone who your social media feed is just full of, you know, wedding pictures, happy times, and then if the relationship breaks up, how you handle that? You take down the old postings? How publicly do you disclose your breaking up or the reasons behind that? Do you do it jointly? Do you do it individually? We'll get into all that later this hour. But first, ways of identifying people for purposes of checking out at a supermarket or boarding a plane. Is convenience worth what some see as an intrusion in privacy? Now, this is coming to the fore with Delta Airlines' announcement that they are introducing at LAX facial recognition software to help people more quickly board the plane. It saves apparently considerable amount of time for people getting on the Delta jets. This has been done as a test stage with a couple other airlines at LAX, but Delta's going full bore into this. Amazon, also last week it was announced, they're looking at hand scanners for checking out at Whole Foods markets. Their employees, according to New York Post, already testing the technology at vending machines in the Amazon offices in New York. With us, CNET executive editor Roger Cheng to talk about this. Roger, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So how much is facial recognition technology being used to this point in the aircraft industry?
It's slowly ramping up, for sure. This is something that they've been talking about really for years, and there's actually been sort of a mandate out there to introduce facial recognition, particularly for non-American travelers. But obviously, the technology has taken a while to catch up. And even now, you know, it's not 100% accurate. And I think that's partly why there's some concerns about it, in addition to the clear privacy concerns with, you know, these databases basically collecting our faces and what we look like.
But, well, now it's interesting. You come back through customs at LAX when you've been out of the country, and they take this photo of you. You then show that to the customs agent as you make your way out. You know, they're clearly looking at facial recognition as a big part of their job.
Yeah, absolutely. And when it comes to airlines like Delta, you know, this is something that clearly saves them a lot of time, and that's. You know, time is money for these airlines. That's kind of been the main driver for this, right? They're kind of pushing this as a way to more conveniently get through the airline process. And for folks who travel constantly and know the frustrations of traveling, it's very easy to say, yeah, I'll do this if this speeds up my security clear through.
But there a person is making a willing trade-off. If there's no opt-out, if the only way that you can fly Delta or any other airlines that embrace this, then the passenger gets no choice. Do you think they're going to have an opt-out?
Well, so that's the thing right now. There is the option to opt out of these services, but a number of agencies, the Electronic Freedom Foundation, they've found that it's hard to find the opt out. It's in some airports, you know, there's usually a sign posted that you can get out. Others there aren't, and they're really kind of disincentivizing folks from opting out. Partly because, again, you know, it saves the airline. Like Delta says, you know, it shaves about 2 seconds of boarding time per passenger, which adds up to about.
That's a lot. Yeah.
Which is yeah, exactly. It adds up. It's a lot. But for the consumer or for the traveler. Yeah, there are some concerns that it's unclear whenever these systems are put in place whether there's an opt-out and whether or not you're going to get, you know, ostracized for being the one person that goes through the manual check.
Or you get on the plane last because, you know, you're off to the side because you won't play ball with the facial recognition technology. Roger, also this hand recognition technology that Amazon's reportedly considering for Whole Foods checkout, one could see where that would be faster than a credit card. But what do you know about the technology? How ready for prime time is it?
So keep in mind, this is a report from the New York Post. A couple of years back, you know, they had a big report about these robots powering supermarkets that would spell the end of all jobs. But that hasn't happened at all.
Yeah, we did a segment on that. So,
yeah. Keep in mind, got to take that with a grain of salt. You know, I've talked with a bunch of folks about this, and it seems unreasonable or surprising that, you know, a company like Amazon would put in expensive scanners like that just to save a few seconds, right? Given the fact that, you know, we've got, you know, mobile payments where you can tap your phone or tap your smartwatch to pay. These things aren't that much slower than presumably what they're presenting that or projecting or working on. This idea of like waving your hand to pay for your services. That, given the kind of trade-off on the expense of installing all this equipment, you know, across a chain of thousands of stores, that seems a little less likely. So I'm still a little skeptical about whether or not this is something that will actually get rolled out in kind of a mass market way, or if this is really just some sort of side project for Amazon.
Well, and I wonder, too, people's willingness to have their hands scanned and linked to their Prime account, which is what you would need to do to then check out of Whole Foods this way. Let me bring into the conversation Richard Feinberg, consumer psychologist at Purdue University. Thank you very much, sir, for being with us. How willing do you think, let's take the hand recognition, people would be willing to link their hand recognition to a Prime account?
Like all things in life, it depends. The Amazon customer, the Whole Foods customer, the Delta customer who wants to get into an airline club, they are exactly the target market that is more likely to try new technology faster than other people. So there are people who will love it, who will use it, and eventually, as everybody sees how successful these people are, how much faster they get on, and how easy it is, they will start to do it.
So you think there wouldn't be a significant amount of pushback, that people are getting used to the idea of recognition, you know, beyond the conventional forms?
Yes. That doesn't mean there won't be pushback, but you know, I've watched people with their iPhones, or their iPhone 10, for example, that uses facial recognition. People who would not, you know, 85-year-old people who I wouldn't expect to even have an iPhone, which is a bit ageism on my part, are using it. They go into Starbucks and they belong to the club. So, you know, all these things, all of this is going to eventually happen no matter what you and I do if we don't like it. It's going to happen. The millennial consumer is more inclined to use anything new like this. And in the meantime, I am a boomer. I'm going to be dying out. And and so it is the future. It is the future.
Richard Feinberg, Purdue University, consumer psychologist, professor at Purdue. Also with us, Roger Chang, executive editor of CNET. So I'd like to hear what you think. Is this something that you embrace because it's efficiency, it's speed? You would be fine linking your hand to a Prime account, being able to check out of Whole Foods or any supermarket more quickly than have to do it with your credit card. What do you think about facial recognition technology and that being used as a quicker way of, you could use this in lieu of tickets to go to the Dodger game. If they had it, for example, you could have your face scanned very quickly and, you know, be allowed into the game without, you know, having to get the scanning of the ticket. Would it be worth it to you? 866-893-KPECC, 866-893-5722, or the AirTalk page, kpcc.org. Roger Chang, are we moving inevitably towards all of us having an implanted chip, which is our identifier and means of paying and sort of everything boiled into that?
Yes, I guess. I mean, I think the chip implanted theory or you know, promise or potential, that's a little ways away. Although oddly enough, one of my colleagues does actually have a chip in her implanted in her arm that allows her to flash a business card. yeah, it definitely seems like we're headed in that direction. I mean, Like, you look at things like your Face ID on iPhone and Touch ID. Like, we're getting more and more comfortable with biometrics. We're getting more comfortable with using parts of our body to verify things. And so there's definitely a comfort level to that. But, you know, that said, I would say, you know, particularly this year, maybe last year or so, I think consumers have generally gotten a bit more savvy about the fact that, you know, these large companies have databases on us, have a huge amount of information on us. And there is definitely sort of a more savviness when it comes to, you know, how much information, how much privacy we have or don't have. And that, you know, that kind of mixes up the equation a little bit, right? Aside from that, I think we'd be in a straight shot into us using biometrics and facial recognition for everything. But I think there are folks who are increasingly aware that, you know, these companies have a ton of information on us, and that's not necessarily a good thing.
We're at 866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. Roger, do you see any potential governmental intervention in this? Any appetite to take on the companies overdoing this?
I think we're definitely seeing more interest, more movement from the government regards to regulating some of these things, right? Like having these companies create databases of all of our information. There really isn't a lot of regulation on that. The only concern, the issue right now, is that, you know, governments tend to move really slowly, and the pace of technology moves extremely quickly. And so that kind of juxtaposition of, you know, one slow moving organization versus the fast moving one means we're always going to be playing catch up when it comes to regulation.
All right. And Richard Feinberg, again, if it's very limited with the pushback here, do you see any form of personal identification that crosses the line? I mean, if you came to chip implantation, which, you know, raises images of dystopic science fiction, do you think that there would be people rising up en masse against that?
Well, I think there's certainly, as Roger said, a hypersensitivity to privacy issues, and companies have to be very careful about that the systems they have are incredibly safe and work incredibly well before they roll it out to the mass market. You know, I have a chip in my dog. If I was able to put a chip in my son when he was young, I would have done it immediately. You know, maybe I want a chip in my wife. No, I don't want a chip in my wife, but I can find her by where her iPhone is, so, and she knows that. So, I mean, we're getting used to this stuff. Of course, I'm concerned about privacy, but in most cases, it's not something that prevents me from using a credit card or using a check or using my face or my fingerprint when I need to. Roger brought up the great example of getting in when you travel internationally and you see the long lines going through customs and the customs issue, and you have these machines. If you have signed up previously, you have the machines that will get you through in what seems like a nanosecond. And I watched how people looked at me when I just did that. And so that's the kind of thing that's going to get more and more people to use these things. When they see other people that look like normal people using these things, they will start to use it too.
All right. I want to thank you so much for joining us. That's Richard Feinberg, Purdue University professor of consumer sciences and retailing. He's consumer psychologist as well. And my thanks to CNET executive editor Roger Chang. This just in, that 50 state attorneys general led by Texas have announced an investigation into Google's potential monopolistic behavior. The announcement follows one from a separate group of states last Friday, disclosing an investigation into Facebook's market dominance. The two probes widen the antitrust scrutiny of big tech companies beyond federal and congressional investigations and enforcement action by European regulators. Again, 50 states' attorneys general are announcing an investigation into Google over potentially monopolistic behavior. You're listening to Air Talk on 89.3 KPECC. We'll be back shortly to talk about a new department at Johns Hopkins looking at hallucinogenics.